The title of my message this morning that I would like to share is Jesus Stopped. Jesus Stopped. I had something else that I was planning to speak this morning on. For all week, I was thinking and pondering about it, but the Lord led me to speak on this topic. And it would be simple and short, but there is a reason why when we pray for God to lead us and He speaks to us, it is because the Lord knows each one of us more than we know each other. The Lord knows my wife more than I know her, and vice versa. It doesn't matter how many years we live with each other, how many years we live on this earth, the Lord knows it all. The Bible says before a word comes out of our mouth, He already knows everything. He knows your struggles. He knows the pain you're facing. He knows the circumstances you're going through. And for that reason, I believe that He speaks to us when we gather on Wednesday night, on Sunday mornings, when we stream. He speaks to us because He knows what we need. Amen? Jesus stopped. Have you ever wondered, how is Jesus responding to our needs? Have you ever thought that, man, we serve this God that is out there, that physically we don't see, but we have to take it by faith that He's there. We have to take it by faith to receive Him in our hearts. To the world, it sounds nuts, right? And all of these things, sometimes we kind of go through, but have you ever thought that, how is God interested in my needs? I'm not talking about other nations, other countries, my neighbors, mine. Imagine we come to Him every day about something, and often we respond this way. What I'm about to share is because we respond that way. Can you imagine if our children come and nag us about something, they ask us, at some point we kind of like, stop it, right? This is how sometimes we react, because we might be in the middle of something, and we all been there. Doesn't matter how holy you are and I am. We all been there that sometimes we just look back, I shouldn't have done that or say that, right? But sometimes, or people, or neighbors, or whoever, they come and they ask of something, or, you know, and at some point, you kind of like, get it together and go get a job, right? And often we think about the Lord that, man, is He uncomfortable that we come to Him so often to ask Him things? Can you imagine if we pray to Him and we are asking Him for something that we need, and He says, knock it off, not again, you did this again. Not again, man, come on. You walked with the Lord for 30 years. Can't you get it together now? But He's not like that, thank God. He's not. We might be like that. The Bible says if a child asks for bread, maybe an earthly father will give him a stone, but not the heavenly father. Maybe the earthly father and mother might have a bad response, but not the heavenly father. And that's why often we have the perception of our heavenly father of our bad experience with people on this earth. But God is not like that. He cares for you. He cares for that bird that annoys you at times, right? He cares for that bird, supernaturally provides for it. And then the Bible says, how much more? How much more? If He cares for all the things in the world, it would seem that He would be busy, right? But He says, no, even though I have all the world in my hand to take care of, how much more I am to take care of you because I care for you. We respond to the needs indifferent at times, in different ways. Some respond in abundance, others respond in limitations, and others respond, they don't respond. And this is how we wire these people. But Jesus responds all the time. We might not like it sometimes, but He does respond. Growing up, I remember by reading the stories and preparing, my mind just went to back in the village when we were just struggling, growing in a family and trying to make means. One thing I remember that stood to me very, very vividly is that people in the village could not afford to have cars. Now we have a few, some of the families. But back in the day, people could not afford to have a vehicle. So what would happen is a bunch of people from villages with their families or by themselves, if they had to go to the city to buy groceries or to do errands or to go to work, what they would do, they would go from the village, walking from the village to the main road that leads to the city, and you would have a bunch of people just on the side of the road with their families, with a bunch of bags, and they would wave at the cars. They would wave, and it was very common. Now it's a little weird, but back in the day, it was very common. Because people from 40 kilometers, 50 kilometers, they would drive to the city, and that was what we did. And often if the car was seating 8 people or a van was seating 10 people, you would have that van packed with 20, 30 people standing like fishes, man. Just, and they were happier. The AC was not working. We didn't know what AC is. It was just opening the window. That was the AC. A lot of people could not afford perfume. It was the real deal. It was the real deal. And you were so grateful that somebody gave you a ride to the city. But then another thing, what I noticed that when my parents would do that, we would be busy to go to church, and my parents still would stop and pick up people to drive them. And they took those opportunities to share the gospel with people. It's like, if they don't want to hear it, it's not like they're going to jump out. You know what I mean? So they don't have a chance. Once they're there, they're going to hear the gospel. But there were other people that were driving past with empty cars. And they can care less of the need of the people. They can care less. They didn't care. They didn't want their car to be dirty. They didn't want their car to be smelly. Especially those people that did that, it was those people that kind of made it a little bit, you know, they maybe had a small business or they made it, they could afford a nicer car or they worked overseas. And all of a sudden, you know, people forget the needs of others, when especially you do well. But I remember those moments that not everybody would stop. But when somebody did stop, it was such a grateful heart in people's hearts. People may respond differently for the needs or to the needs of people. But God responds the same at all times. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "And my God shall supply some of your needs according to his riches." Does it say that? It says all. Oh, I love that. Listen, lately, for the past probably year and a half, you've been hearing me put the accent on the word all a lot. And there is a reason for that. Because often we so skip it. And we tend to think that it's only some. But it's all. "And my God," help me out, "shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." He cares about all our needs. Not of some, but all of our needs. You see, Jesus is not like us. He is consistent in his response. It's not like he goes into this mood swings. And one day he's good, the other day he's mad, the other day he doesn't know what to do with you. He's consistent. Say with me, consistent. He's consistent every day that we live. He's consistent in his responses to us. And he does not show partiality. Hallelujah. We show partiality at times. What a great message Pastor Nick shared last Sunday about communion, how we are not to do that. But unfortunately, in the body of Christ, there's so much partiality. But Jesus does not show partiality. He does not say, "Well, if you deserved it, I will show to you mercy or I'll answer you. If you prayed enough, great, now you deserved it. Well, if you've walked enough with me, now you become my best friend." He does not show partiality. The access to the Lord is plain for everyone. Now, how close we get to him, it's up to all of us how we walk with him, how we read the word of God, how we pray, how we grow spiritually. That's our responsibility now, to be able to draw closer to him. Because the Bible does say, "Draw near to me." Sometimes we think everything, just the Lord has to do it. I'm just going to stay on the couch. Well, you might die there. Make sure you go to work at least. Right? or exercise or do something. No, there are things in our life that we are to do from our end. And he says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Praise be to God. He's committed to us always, even when we are unfaithful. He's committed to us. He is never late to anything. We might be late, but he is never late. The first thing that I would like to share with you is, it's never too late for Jesus. He's always on time. It's never too late for Jesus, but he's always on time. And I would like for you to read with me Luke chapter 8, verse 40 and down. The book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 40 and down. Luke chapter 8, verse 40 says this. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue's leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12 years old, was dying. And Jesus was on his way. The crowd almost crushed him. And the woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out of me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Verse 48. Then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," he said. "Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and he and she will be healed." Verse 51. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what has happened. What a marvelous story here. And now I would like to read the story again and talk with you about this story, because the story began to speak to me in a way that can relate to many of us when we come to Jesus to ask him for help, for mercy, and for healing. Luke chapter 8, verse 40 says this. Now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. There was an expectation of people for Jesus to show up. There was a line of people when Jesus was in town. They were there because they've heard what he did. And maybe people were fighting with each other. Who's gonna get closer to him? Who's gonna be that person that is gonna hang out closer to him? Because sometimes there were thousands of people around him. So people would gather with expectation. Say with me, expectation. But you see, not everybody had that opportunity to be close to him. Verse 41 then says this. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12 was dying. So you see this picture. This man by the name of Jairus from synagogue, who was one of the leaders, he's coming to Jesus because he comes to a point in his life that he understands that even his religiosity, even his connections, even all the people and the priests he might know, nobody can help his daughter when she's in need. But he knew of somebody, and his name was Jesus. And he says that he came to him and fell at his feet. It's something he did that usually you wouldn't do, especially being in that position. It would have been humbling to do that. And he says, I only have one daughter, and she's about 12 years old. Can you come and help me? Because she's dying. Can you hurry up, Jesus? I'm coming to you right now. I'm in need. I waited for so long. I thought that medicine would help. I thought my connections would help. But nothing helped. And I'm realizing I'm at the last stage of her life. And she's breathing heavy. She's maybe responding very, very, very slowly to me. And she's about to die. Can you hurry up and come to me? The only thing that can save her right now, it's your speed. The only thing that can save her right now, it's you magically just showing up in her room. And I love this story that Jesus is always on time. He's never late. He's never too late. And then he says, as Jesus was on his way. Can you imagine? Now, this man stops, talks with him, begs him to come. Jesus makes up his mind. Okay, I'm gonna go to your house. And as he was on his way to this man's house, the crowd almost crushed him. I don't know, maybe the crowd thought, dude, what are you doing? We've been here longer than you. You just showed up. He was going in a certain direction, and now you're making him change his plans to go into your house. And over here he says, we often just focus on this scripture about this woman that had the issue of blood and that she touched the garments of Jesus. But in the context, Jesus was on the way for a woman that was emergency in their house. He couldn't lose a second anywhere. And the Bible says that this woman touched him. And in the middle of everything, Jesus stops. He says, who touched me? I don't know what Jairus was thinking in that moment. Jesus, what are you doing? I need you right now. I begged you. You committed to me. And you're stopping. We have to run to my house. But you're stopping now. Can't you see there's possibly thousands or hundreds of people around you. He says that almost they crushed it because there were so many. But he says, no. But I feel power coming out of me. It doesn't matter how many people can be around us sometimes. We can still get a hold of Jesus. We can still get a hold of Jesus. Doesn't matter how much problems and situations are in our life. We can still get a hold of Jesus. He's never too far, too late. Or too high that we cannot reach him. And I'm thinking, what is Jairus thinking? Oh no, not again. We're wasting time. We're wasting time. And over here it says, when Jesus says, who touched me? When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, something touched me. Or someone touched me, I know that the power has been gone from my body. Then the woman, seeing that she has no way out, she comes to him. And in front of everybody, the Bible says that she began to confess, it was me. It was me. I did not only touch you, but I received healing from you. You see, so many people had the opportunity to touch Jesus. But instead of touching for faith, they were pressing towards him because they wanted just to be around him. But there were people that wanted to touch him. And the Bible says in verse 48, that he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. And I love this scripture now. While Jesus was still speaking, he's still speaking. He did not finish his conversation. Someone came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and says, bad news. Your daughter is dead. The worst that can happen. And I'm thinking about, and I would like for you to kind of think, what was Jairus thinking in that moment?
Jesus, I'm disappointed in you. Why did you stop? Why did you stop to help somebody? Back in the day, maybe they were asking, you're in a hurry to church. Why did you stop to pick up somebody from the side of the road? Because Jesus is in need of them. And over here, he's probably with condemnation and all confusion. He's blaming himself. He's blaming Jesus. It's too late, Jesus. If you have not been stopped to do a miracle, if you did not stop to talk with this woman, we probably would have been in my house now and my daughter would live. And so often we think like that in our life. Oh, Jesus, you did a miracle in my neighbor's house. You did a miracle for somebody that I prayed for. But what about me? You answered the prayer that I have in somebody else's life, but what about me? Can you take some time for me? But I think it's too late. I think it's a little bit late. But you see, it says over here, he said, Jesus is saying, don't, or he says to her, don't bother the teacher anymore. Hearing this, he did not say that now Jesus gave the opportunity for Jairus to speak. You see, in moments like this, they're very critical because we can be very, very discouraged. And he says, hearing this, meaning Jesus said to Jairus, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Yes, I'm answering somebody else's cry. I'm answering somebody else's prayer, being on my way to answer your prayer. And it might seem in people's eyes that it's too late, she's dead. But he says, do not be afraid. But what? Just believe. And I love this scripture. That just believe. Jesus is not indifferent to you. When in the middle he's answering somebody else's prayers, he still cares for you and loves you. He's there for you to answer your prayer. And what he's saying, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid in the middle when you see somebody else's prayer getting answers, when people are shouting and dancing around you because there have been joy in their house because Jesus touched them and answered their prayer. No, do not be afraid, because sometimes fear might cripple in our hearts and we begin to think that I've done something wrong. Have I sinned? Is this a punishment? Or another thing is, Jesus, you're too busy doing somebody else's miracle. You don't have time for me. But Jesus says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. It's never too late for me. I am always on time. I'm always on time. And over here it says, just believe and she will be healed. He did not say she will resurrect. It's incredible. For people, it was the end with no return. But for Jesus, was an opportunity. Think about it. Death, for people, it was the end of no return. But for Jesus, it was just the opportunity to do a miracle. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the child's father and mother. You see, only certain people were allowed to go there because there was so much unbelief. There was so much unbelief. But you see, the family was still clinging to Jesus. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing. Do you know what wailing is? I'm afraid I would scare you if I would start wailing here. But it's not just crying. It's uncontrollable, sobbing and making noises. And a lot of times, they were hiring people to wail back in the day for funerals. Or when people died, this was part of the culture, what they did. You would have wailers. They would show up at the house and begin to wail. In these days, the neighbors would call 911. And it says, in mourning for her. And Jesus shows up. He says, stop wailing. I almost entitled my sermon, Stop Wailing. Because sometimes we wail. Sometimes we wail because we think it's done. It's too late. It's too far off. We don't want to go with you, Jesus, in the room to see the miracle. You showed up too late. You took too much time with that woman. You took too much time with that family. Like we're throwing a fit almost. Like, forget this. And we stop. We start wailing. And Jesus said, stop wailing. She's not dead, but asleep. It isn't crazy that people that are getting paid for this now start laughing. In a second, they're wailing here. Jesus said she's not dead, she's asleep, and they start laughing now. That's what money can do sometimes. But let me tell you something. But in this parent's heart, there was faith. Because Jesus says, no, do not be afraid, just believe. Just believe. If I'm coming to your home, things are going to change. And things changed. He took her by the hand and picked her up, and breath and life and her spirit revived. Hallelujah. That's what our Lord can do. That's what our God can do. Jesus can stop in our home. Jesus has the time to stop. Jesus has the time to put a pause thing and to give you attention. Have you ever been in situations when you're kind of talking with people and then you want to say something and somebody's passing by? I have been not too long ago in a situation like that. You're kind of saying something and that person kind of goes and it's very awkward. You kind of, especially if you have somebody next to you. I've been in that situation and it's like, okay, you know, somebody was in a hurry because you were in the middle of telling them something, but they were not, it's not that they were not interested, but they did not even notice you're trying to grab their attention. Jesus is not like that. He's always there. He takes the time. He sits down with you. He dines with you at the table. He seeks you when you're going afar off. He's chasing you with his love because he cares for you. And he says, it's never too late for me to come into your home. Even when you face death. Even when you face when your marriage is crumbling. Even when you might face divorce. Even when you might face your children walking away in rebellion. I am never too late to come and dine with you and bring life again into your family. Because it was about a family here. It was not just about a child, but it was a family's faith that was involved in this situation. Jesus is not too late to bring life, a spiritual life in our families. Oh, how we need that. Oh, how we need that. How many families, they're having the form of godliness but denying its power. Showing up to church, showing up to things. And Jesus was addressing this to the Pharisees because we are so good in the day we live in to put a form that we are godly, but inside we're empty and we're dead. And Jesus today says, I am coming to your home. I am coming into your family. And I'm going to speak life again into your family. Because you have not been meant just to survive. You have not been meant just to live day by day and to just live indifferent to the spiritual walk that I want you to walk. He wants to revive those things in our lives. He wants to revive our children again. Because they might be living, but they're spiritually dead. And this is the perfect time for Jesus to come and says, even though I have been saving other people and healing other people, I'm still coming to your house because I have promised you that if you have faith in me and if you're not going to be afraid, I'm going to answer your prayer. Hallelujah. You might be praying for your son and daughter, for your children, grown or small. It doesn't matter. They're still your children, but God is going to answer you. Don't give up. Don't think that he's too busy answering somebody else. Don't think that he's too busy healing somebody else when you're begging him that my children are dying. Matter of fact, now they're dead. No, 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 no. Jesus is going to come and bring life in them and they're going to walk with him again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do not be afraid and only believe. Only believe. Only believe and do not be afraid. Cling to him. Cling to him. And in the moments when you have messengers coming to you, telling you it's too late, it's never too late for Jesus. It's never too late for Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know I'm speaking to some of you because you have children that are not walking with the Lord. You have children that are confused of their gender. You have children that are confused in this world. But Jesus loves them and cares for them. He's not indifferent about them. He's going to come into your home and answer your prayer. Do not be afraid, but just believe. Hallelujah. Just believe. Hallelujah. There was another passage, but I don't feel led to go in there. We're going to go into prayer. Just believe. Never give up. Never pull back. Never hide. And never Trust the voices around you that it's too late for Jesus to come into your home. He can come and resurrect. He can come and bring life. He can come and change things. And He can come and save. Because that's what our Jesus does. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. Just believe. And tell those voices that are wailing out there to shut up. Because a glorious message is gonna come out of your home. A glorious testimony is gonna come from your family. Don't believe those voices that are laughing at you, that you're crazy. They're too far gone, they're too far off, and there is nothing that you can do. No, Jesus can do something. Hallelujah. Because you will have people, you will have neighbors, you will have those voices that the enemy is trying to bring that it's too late. No. And as long as you can stay in that moment of wailing, woe it's me, everybody's happy. Because there is no miracle happening. But the moment it says, no, there is a chance for a miracle. Oh, you're going to have voices that are going to laugh at you. But no, do not be afraid of those voices. Do not be afraid of the messages, but just believe. Hallelujah. Would you believe today? Believe the little faith that you have. God, I hear what they're saying. I hear the prognosis. I hear all of these things. But man, I don't have where to go. I tried all the things. I'm coming to you. And I'm choosing to believe for a miracle for my children, for my marriage, for my family, for my family. Father, oh, we come to you. Oh, Jesus, forgive us when we have the wrong understanding about you. Especially when we see you answering others' prayers and we compare ourselves to them and we think only if you can come in our family. But it seems like it's too late. Oh, you're never too late. Oh, you're never too late. God, we want to say thank you for that. Would you remind us today that even when we feel discouraged, when the messengers came to this man, you did not even give them the opportunity to speak because it was so much pain and hurt probably there. But you spoke first and said, do not be afraid, just believe, Jairus. And this is the word you're reminding us today, that we are not to be afraid, just believe. When people are bringing all kinds of messages to us that it's too late, when there are already people hired that are wailing around us that the enemy is trying to do, Father, you commanded them to be quiet and to stop wailing. Give us the authority today to say in the name of Jesus, every voice to be silent. Every voice that contradicts your promises and every voice that contradicts your voice to be quiet in the name of Jesus. Every voice from our friends that is trying to bring us down and discourage us in our walk with you, put it to shame, oh God. Would you shut the mouth of the lion? And let the fear that sometimes tries to grip our heart go away, and your love can overwhelm our lives and our families and our hearts. We pray, oh Father, this morning that you would help our unbelief, oh Father. And the little faith that we have for our children that are confused, for our children that are not walking with you, for our children that they're so indifferent towards you. God Almighty, would you get a hold of them? Would you save them, Jesus? We can't go. We can't do anything on our own. God, I even was on a phone with somebody yesterday, with a family member. And they said that my child is old enough, I cannot do nothing unless God gets a hold of them. God Almighty, we come to you and we're asking your Holy Spirit to come and bring change in our children. To bring deliverance in their minds and in their hearts. To bring freedom in their lives from addictions of the world and the powers of hell. Because you're more powerful. Oh God, we come to you. And it's not just it's because our desire, but you desire even more than us to save them. That's why you came to a cross and died. Jesus, we come in agreement with you. Would you save them? God, we pray for the families that have the loved ones that are confused in their gender. Father, your word says that you're not a God of confusion. Oh Jesus, I pray that you would come and just change their mind and their hearts. Renew their minds and heal them and touch them, oh Father. And deliver them, oh Jesus. Father, we will face all kinds of temptations in this world. And we pray, oh God, that you would come and help us through this journey to rely upon you. And give us the grace to love people, not to push them away. Give us the grace to love those that are so far away from you, God, and confused. Help us never to judge and help us never to put people down because they're made in the image of Christ. God, I pray if there's people that are so dull and their spiritual walk is just barely making it, would you revive us again, oh Father? Start with our homes. Start with our homes, oh Father. If there's people here in this room that are struggling with alcoholism, drugs, with different besetting sins, would you free us in the name of Jesus and resurrect us for a new life? Jesus, I pray that you would give us the power and the authority to walk upon all the obstacles and sin and darkness that comes against us and to walk victorious in you, oh Father. Give us the grace not to be spiritually handicapped, but you had given us all the power and the authority to trample upon all the darkness that is out there and to walk victorious for you, oh God. You have done this in my life and I thank you for that. And you can do this again and again in the hearts of people that are coming to you. Push away every voice that says it's too late. Push away every wailing. Push away every darkness and give us the grace to cling to you. Because from you and to you belongs all things. Father, as Apostle Paul says, that you are able to keep everything that we have committed into your hands. Jesus, let this be the testimony of parents today, or families today, that when we have committed our children into your hands, you will keep them. Father, I pray that you will touch them and breathe life. Oh Father, let every unbelief that is in the room, as you did, you pushed all those people out. And only certain people were allowed in the room to see the miracle. Because there were a group of people that were wailing and laughing. And there was a group of people that tried to get a hold of you and your promise. Oh God Almighty, give us discernment who to walk with, who to pray with. That we can believe, that we can believe. I pray for marriages specifically right now, God, that you would bring life. God, I pray for kindness and love to take place in our families. I pray, oh Jesus, that you would do a miracle in our families, in our marriages, in this church, in this community. God, I pray that the word would go out of what you're doing in this house and people would come to this house experiencing what they have been heard for themselves. God, I pray that you would bring healing and restoration. And most of all, I pray for trust and love to rekindle and commitment to rekindle. I pray, oh God, that you would not give peace to those that live in sin. That you, oh Father, would come and nudge them by the power of the Holy Spirit and remind them that they belong to you. They don't belong to live in sin and in complacency. Bring them back to you, oh Father. And we pray all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.